morning to everybody here. Good morning to everybody out there watching on the YouTube channel. I know the Normans are away on their cruise. It's nice just to get away and be in the middle of nowhere floating. Scott's hiking. Out there doing his thing in the wilderness. Man, I like that. I'm like, wow, I can do that. I don't know if I get much done. I'll probably just get camped in one spot. You know, find a good, beautiful lake and be like, I'm good. But a great explorer's heart. So that is cool. Scott out there doing this thing. This morning, guys, we're going to talk about Jesus expects a return. You know, we'll be starting in Ephesians chapter 2. You know, I think about Scott on his hiking trip. You know, he's invested a lot in going on that trip. As far as like, you know, getting all the materials together and everything. But the biggest thing is what he's investing is just the time and energy he's going to be there hiking. And what he's looking to get out of. And I thought, wow, that's going to be very meaningful. And that's also just going to give a lot back to him. A lot of joy that he's going to enjoy there. So, but I want to talk about Jesus expects a return. And I'm going to open up with a story here. So years ago, a man in a city bought an old run-down house on the edge of the city. The roof sagged, the porch leaned, the yard looked like it had given up hope. But he saw potential. He invested thousands of dollars, new roof, new wiring, fresh paint, new floors. He transformed it. Then he rented it out to a young man who promised to take care of it. So now months pass, and when the owner returned, he found the yard overgrown, trashed, piled on the porch, holes punched in the walls, and the kitchen cabinets hanging off their hinges. The young man shrugged and said, well, I didn't break everything. I just didn't do anything. The owner replied, that's the problem. I invested in you. I trusted you. I expected a return. You know, this is the message we're going to talk about today in several scriptures. How God has invested in all of us. And yet he expects a return from all of us. And I think sometimes we don't think about it that way. We just think God just gives, 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 and that's it. The relationship's one way. But we don't think that we have to give nothing back to God. And that's not the way God works. But pick it up in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 and 10, great, powerful scripture. It says in verse 8, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life. Point one, grace is God's investments. We never think about grace that way, but it's part of his investments. So how does God invest in our success? Well, let me share some here. Salvation is by grace through faith, not by works. It is God's gift, so no one can brag. Yet verse 10 as balance.
Yes.
We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. Grace saves, works show the new life.
Amen.
Grace is not God handing you a spiritual welfare check. We have to understand that. Grace is God handing you capital, meaning resources, gifts, time, mercy, opportunity. And God is saying, build something with this. Build something with this grace that I've given you. Your work should show a new life. Your work should show a changed life. Grace is not a hammock. And hammocks are wonderful things that you hang between trees so you can just swing and relax and do nothing. But grace is not that. I just get to chill and do nothing. That's not grace. No, grace is a launch pad that propels you into the work God has prepared for you in advance. You know, Ephesians 2:18, it tells us that, number one, grace saves us. I love that. Salvation is an unearned gift from God, received through faith, not by your own deeds. God wants to let you know there's no amount of work you can do to earn grace. That was just simply a gift he gave us. Grace shapes us. It transforms our hearts and gives us a new nature, creating us to be God's handiwork or masterpiece. And grace sends us into good works. This means we are not saved by good works, but for the believer, it means stepping into a purpose and ministry God prepared in advance for us. Amen. Grace is like a seed, and works are the fruit. We have to realize and understand that grace is God's investment in us, and faithfulness is the expected return on the investment God makes in humanity. We're going to jump over to Matthew 25 as we continue to talk about Jesus expects a return. Matthew 25 is a scripture that we are very familiar with. We read it many times in our lives. And I think it's one of the wonderful things about reading scripture over and over. Now, there's sometimes you can look at your Bible and be like, I've read this. It's kind of like you have this reader's block, this mental block, and it's like, what else can I learn from this? What else can I learn from this? But if you live long enough and you step back and then you come back to the scripture, you realize there is still things to be learned in God's word. And it just takes us time to realize, I got to soften my heart into seeing what else is God showing me in the scripture. Well, in this scripture, Jesus tells this parable about three men and their master. And each of them are given talents according to their will. Their ability. And talks about how this master, he leaves and he goes away. And he comes back, and now it's time for accountability. And we're going to pick up in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 25. It says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The master who had received the servant who had received the five talents came and presented five more. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the servant who had received two talents, he came and said, master, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Finally, the servant who had received the one talent came and said, master, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what belongs to you. Verse 26 said, you wicked and lazy servant, replied his master. You knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received it back with interest. We're going to start right there. Point two, talk about a kingdom business meeting. Because that's what they're having here. They're having a business meeting with the master. You know, Jesus describes a master who entrusted his servants with resources. One receives 5 talents, one receives 2, and one receives 1. You see, God never gives us more than we can handle. As the scriptures say, his grace is sufficient. So the master leaves, the master returns, and the master reviews. Let's do something that's kind of, we can relate to this. We know that Jesus has came to this world. He walked on this earth. He was crucified for our sins, and he died, and he what? He left. We know that Jesus, in the scripture, it talks about that he will what? Return. And when he returns, guess what? We're all going to have what with him? A review. Yep, you're right. A business meeting. We're going to have a review. We never think about it that way. You know, but we got to understand, and like this story here, this story is not about money. Jesus usually is not about money. It's about responsibility. That's what this is about, this parable. It's about responsibility. You see, the first two men, they multiplied what they were given. The last servant maintained what he was given. You see, Jesus is not looking for us to maintain what he has given us. No, he wants to see a return on the life he has given us. He wants to see this life amount to something. You know, this man who didn't do nothing, he didn't steal it, he didn't lose it, he simply did nothing. And Jesus calls that wicked. Why? He calls it wicked to waste resources, gifts, to waste time, to waste mercy, to waste opportunity. Because doing nothing with God's investment is disrespectful to the one who gave it. You know, think about it this way. Imagine giving someone a beautiful gift, a beautifully wrapped gift. They smile, they thank you, and they place it on a shelf unopened for years. Years with an S. Every time you visit, it's still sitting there, still wrapped, still in use. Eventually you ask, why haven't you opened what I gave you? You know, many believers today are living with unopened gifts. God has given them so much, and they have yet to open it. We're talking about things like unused talent. There's so much talent that we have not opened and to use for God and to use for the church and to use for this world. You know, I was encouraged how Scott used this gift. Got to play the guitar in front of us and everything. It took a lot of faith and courage on Scott's part. But he built it up. And when he did it, it's been beautiful. Unopened gifts like unopened encouragement. The Spirit is nudging us to say something. Some of us are great encouragers. We just need to open our mouth and use that gift. We need to encourage more people. Build them up. Unopened gifts like unshared testimony. Our testimony can change somebody's life. It can. Our testimony of where we were before we met God, when we met God, how we were, and how we got to this point now. It can change somebody's life. Unserved opportunities. There's some people who don't serve at all. They just come to church to be served. I just want to be served. And God said relationships are not like that. You need to serve. You have that gift and ability to serve others. unfulfilled callings. There's nothing worse than not using your gift that God has given you. You're called to do something. You're called to do something. I remember my mom shared a story. With me a while back about she had a dream that she had a vision that she went up and God showed her this room where there was a whole bunch of boxes of unopened gifts. And in these boxes, she asked them, what are all these boxes in this room? Mm-hmm. And they said, these are the gifts that people never used. Mm-hmm. It's just a room full of boxes that people never opened that God gave her. And I never forgot that my mom shared with me. And I wonder, like, are we like that? Do we have gifts that we have never opened up? And they're just sitting there waiting to be used. Mm-hmm. And we're not using our callings. We're all called to do something. You know, God didn't give us gifts to demonstrate our lives. God didn't give us gifts to decorate our lives. He gave them to activate our life. When Jesus comes back, we want him to see that we have been busy for the Lord, and all of our gifts should reflect that. So far we understand that Jesus expects a return. Life is just not about us receiving all the things that God has given us, or all the experience, education, whatever God has given us. And like, I just need to sit here and just continue to take. But God wants to see what he's invested in. He wants to see this love that he's poured into us and how this love is going to reciprocate and reflect what he's done for us. Let's turn to James chapter 4. So we know that grace is a gift, but we know that God expects us to do work in Christ. The parable of the three guys with the talents, we know that Jesus expects us return, but we know that Jesus expects us to be responsible for what he has given us. And let's talk about how precious life can be. James chapter 4, verse 13. He says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we would go to this or that city. Spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Boy, that sounds like us, ain't it? Next opportunity. He says, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanish. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Point three, this life is a probational period. We never think about life that way, but it is. What's a probational period? You say, we are not in eternity yet. That's what we have to understand. We are in training. You ask for what? So that we would know how to conduct ourselves in a place called forever. That's what we're being prepared for. To live in a place called forever, which we know as eternity. This earthly life is the internship before the eternal assignment. And right now we have to understand that God is watching. What is God watching? God is watching how we handle time. That's what God is watching, how we handle time. God is also watching how we handle people. That's what God is watching, how we handle people. God is also watching how we handle opportunities. How we handle opportunities. God is watching how we handle obedience. You know, because there's structure in eternity. And God is watching how we handle his word. How's the training going for us these days? How's our internship here on Earth going? How's that working out for us? How are we handling things? How are we taking care of things? How are we managing time? You know, sometimes we can say, man, time just got away from me. And then you think of like, how did it get away from me? How am I handling time? How am I managing time? We think about that. You know, how are we handling people, each other, in the church, out in the world, in the community? How are we handling each other? You know, it's easy for us to say other people are difficult. But God said, well, how are you handling people? He never said that we were going to be easy people. But he just said, you know what, how are you handling people? How are we handling opportunities? Oh, man, I wished I woulda, shoulda, coulda. You know, you get older these days, I'm kind of suspicious of every offer. I find that about myself, like, oh, no, is this legit? Is this a scam? I'm just suspicious of everything. Loading up my debit card or credit card in anything. And I'm like, Lord, and then you find out it was legit, and you're like, I missed out on that. But I'm just suspicious like that of everything, like, you know, but sometimes we just got to do our research and say, okay, I got to trust going forward. How are we when it comes to handling obedience? Man, if we could find somebody who's walking on water and perfect with obedience, wow. I don't know if that person would be worth imitating, or I'd be scared of that person, or you just always miss goody two-shoe. You just always get it right. You just God's favorite, you know. But I don't think God looks at it that way. I think God's just like, I just want you to do your best when it comes to be obedient. You don't you worry about what she's doing or what he's doing. Just you do your best. Handle obedience. And how are we when it comes to handling God's word? Man, are we handling it the right way, the proper way? You know, how are we doing with God's word? Are we painting God's word to fit our story, our narrative? Or are we allowing our life to get in line with God's word to say, I need to line up with God's word and what God's saying and what's God's narrative for this life? You know, we are being shaped for kingdom service. Because when we do get to that heavenly place with God, where there's a new earth and a new heaven, there will be no sitting on a cloud nowhere. We will be serving the Lord. Revelations 22, verse 12, it says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. That sounds like Jesus is expecting a return. It sounds like he's looking like, it sounds like he's going to award us for the life that we lived. Point four, Jesus expects a return. He says, my reward is with me. Jesus says his reward is with them, and he will give to each person according to what they have done. Not what they intended to do, not what they planned to do, not what they talked about doing, but what they have done. You know, heaven pays out based on faithfulness. The question is not, what did I receive in this life to help me be successful? The question is, what did I produce with this life that God gave me? Faithfulness is not about size. It's about movement. God multiplies what you move, not what you had. One day we would give an account to our wonderful Creator. So let's make sure our account is worth giving. You and I are God's good investment. So let's make every effort to give Him a good return. We serve a wonderful God, a wonderful Creator. We serve a great and mighty Lord who has given us grace. And within that grace, shows a lot of patience and mercy toward us as we're trying to figure out this thing called life. And he's given us his word as our guidebook so we can know how to live life. You know, there was a pastor who once said that when he stands before God, he doesn't want to hand him a life full of almost. I almost served. I almost obeyed. I almost forgave. I feel like that's a big one for a lot of people. I almost stepped out. I almost used my gift. He said, I want to hand God a life that shows I tried, I worked, I served, I gave him a return. Amen. What about us? What about us? Is that what we want our life to be? Want our life to be, Lord, I tried, I worked, I served, and I'm here to give you a return. Like that pastor. We don't want to be the person who say, you know what, I almost don't want to be that. Almost produces nothing. You know, when the master returns, talking about Jesus, may he find us working, not waiting. May he find us producing, not procrastinating. May he find us multiplying, not maintaining. So church, let's roll up our sleeves. Let's tighten up our belt a little bit. Let's get to work. Not to earn salvation, but to honor the one who gave us life and saved us. Jesus expects a return. We are God's investment. So let's do our best every day and yield a good return for our Lord. Let's go to God in prayer.